Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
The surprises of God. Well, I think there's two big surprises at Easter. And the first one, I think, can be found in the resurrection. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 24. Luke 24 is my favoritist, if that's allowed, favoritist story about the resurrection. And every Easter, as the season goes by, I read the resurrection stories, obviously. It doesn't take very long. You can read them all. But this is my favorite. And this time, as I read this passage, I asked this question. Why did Jesus do what he did in this passage? Why did he do it? Because you see, Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, with his new resurrected body, could do anything. And the Bible says he met some people in gardens. He met some people along the road. He met some people on the beach next to Galilee. He met people all over the place in relatively ordinary ways. But this was not an ordinary way. And I think Jesus, when he was planning this, had a big, broad smile all over his face. His closest friends, what can I do to my closest friends that I can't do to anybody else? I know what, I'll do this, because I'm now God back again, resurrected body, and I can do really cool stuff. And so he decided, I think, ahead of time, because he's Jesus, to do this really cool thing, which he probably could have done before, but it would take a lot. But anyway, but it's a really cool thing, because he didn't need to. He could have, well, the Bible says that the disciples were meeting in a room with the door locked because they were afraid of the Jews. And a couple of disciples had just burst into this room, knocked, and they'd opened the door and then closed it up again, and told them that they'd met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And they told them all about it. And they were discussing this when this happened. It's my favorite. It's just my favorite. Yeah, it's great. It's amazing. Luke 24, verse 36 says this. It said, while we're still talking about this Emmaus journey that these two disciples had and how they met Jesus, it says this. Jesus himself stood among them. Ping. It's brilliant. Like, it just kind of appears. It's like ping appears in the middle of them. It's brilliant. I mean, was it like some smoke first, which he appeared out of? Or did he literally just go like, ba-dump, like pop out of nowhere? And he says to them, peace be with you. That's just brilliant, right? You just appear out of nowhere and go, peace be with you. And this is what the Bible says. This is what Luke records. It says, they were startled and frightened. And I can just imagine that the kind of chairs were going backwards and they were like, big, wide mouth. You know, I was watching the Saturday Night Takeaway thing, and do you know how they suddenly go into people's rooms to give them the tickets to the wherever they're going next time? And it kind of goes, and people go like, when they see their kind of face on the big screen, right? Well, it must have been even more impressive than that. And there must have been these whole looks. And so it says, the Bible says they were scared, they were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. And I just love this. Jesus is so funny, right? It's so funny, it's amazing. It's, why are you troubled? This is brilliant, right? It's just brilliant. Why are you just appeared in front of us like, that's why we're troubled, because it doesn't normally happen. It doesn't normally happen. And I think Jesus had a big grin, like, I knew, this is so cool. It's just how I thought it was going to happen. He's God, right? So he would. Anyway, so just how I thought it was going to happen. He said, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? And he already knew the answer. He already knew the answers to these questions. But he said them anyway. And then I think he got a bit more serious. And the story goes on. He says, look, guys, hey, I know I've just appeared in front of you and it's all been really cool and it's fun being God again, right? And he said, but look at my hands and my feet. And then, it is I myself, which is always a weird kind of statement, right? It's me. Guys, it's me. It's the Jesus that you walked and did life with. It's me. It's a real me. I have scars in my hands and my feet. It said, touch me and see. A ghost is not a flesh and bones as you see I have.
And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, they were just struggling with the whole thing, he asked them, do any of you have anything to eat? One of them gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, i.e. the Old Testament. And then he again uses godly powers, and he opened their minds. He gave them knowledge. He gave them insight so that they could understand supernaturally what he was trying to tell them. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in this city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The resurrection was a surprise. Right? It was a surprise. It was a shock. You know, and I know, that dead people don't come back to life. Right? You know that. If somebody said to you, do you know that person that died yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, he's walking around again? You would go, no, he's not. He's dead. Yeah? That's what you'd say. He's not. He's dead. The doctor said he's dead. He's dead. If you're a Christian, you might say, did somebody with a healing thing pray for him? If you were feeling that way. But apart from that, he's dead, right? He's dead. So it was a surprise. It was a surprise to the early disciples. And I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you're a Christ follower, is the resurrection still a surprise for you? Is it still a wow? Or has it got ordinary? Has it got routine? Oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. That's cool. Or is it like, wow, Jesus came back to life and has never died? Is he still a wow for you? Pastor Dave was saying this morning in his message, it's so easy for things to get routine or ordinary. Even on Easter Sunday, it's another Easter Sunday, right? It's another Easter Sunday. We're going to go to church and have chocolate Easter eggs. We're going to have some hot cross buns. And we're going to hear an Easter message because it's Easter Sunday, right? And it's so easy to become kind of almost as it were immune to the surprise that the first disciples and the surprise that some of you got when you realized that somebody had come back to life and never died. And you went like, really? And just to get your head around, it was like a wow, like a revelation moment. And on this Easter theology, is the resurrection still a surprise in your soul? Is it still a wow moment, or has it become ordinary? Because I just want to say, if it's become ordinary, make it unordinary again. Make it extraordinary, because it should be. It should be an extraordinary thought in our heads until we die and meet him face to face. Anyone who meets him face to face is like, wow, you're alive. We know it's true, but it's still, wow, you're alive. Because you should have the wonder. I think it's a terrible shame that so many Christians forget the wonder, the surprise of the resurrection. And it becomes ordinary in their life. But I also want to say something else. It should be no surprise to us if people who don't know Jesus find it a surprise that Jesus came back to life. It should be no surprise to us. Because it's crazy. It's crazy, right? You're going to tell somebody that a person who was killed came back to life and has never died. They go, yeah, no, that's not true. And therefore, and this is what one of us said to you, we must pray as we're talking about the Christian message. Because there's some people in here who you're going, I'm not sure I believe Jesus came back to life. And that's okay. He did, right? But it's still a bit crazy for you. That's all right. But what we're praying, you know how it says in there that Jesus, he opened their minds so they may understand the scriptures. We need to pray the same as we talk to people. And if you're here, I just want to let you know, people are praying that God may open your mind. So the craziness of me saying that this person called Jesus, he was a real person in history, there's loads of historical evidence, he was definitely crucified. The Bible and others say over 500 people saw him alive. But it still might sound crazy to you. But I'm praying that God might just say, yeah, it sounds crazy, but it's true. It's a wow moment. a wow moment in your life. God is full of surprises. The biggest surprise is Jesus didn't die forever. He came back to life again. I think the second big surprise of Easter is the amount of love that God showed us. There is a surprise. I think the disciples only really got it later down the track, the surprise of God's love is limitless. God's love is limitless. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul writes these words. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Paul says this love that God showed at the cross by dying for you while you were still far from God, this love is so, it's kind of limitless. It's a limitless love. Limitless in a sense, if you could put love in a pool and start swimming down and you had infinite amounts of oxygen, you didn't die on the way down, and the pressure wasn't too crushing so you didn't become like a flat fish. If you could keep swimming forever down, you'd never get to the bottom. That's how limitless it is. You just keep going for all eternity and you'd never get to the bottom of it. That's how limitless God's love is. It's limitless in the sense it will just keep on coming. God's love just keeps on coming. It's like a never-ending stream. It will just keep on coming. It's without ceasing. It will just keep on coming into your life. It's limitless. It's limitless in its purity. It doesn't have hang-ups or holdbacks. It doesn't have bad days. It's perfect love all the time. I'm married. I think I'm a pretty good bloke, right? But I know sometimes that my wife may struggle to love me a little bit. Right? I'm sure she'll deny and say she has perfect love for me all the time. But God has perfect love for you all the time. It's limitless in its perfection. It doesn't go up and down depending on your mood. God doesn't have mood, so it doesn't, because it's utterly dependent on who he is and not what we've done. We can be, in one sense, as bad as we like. His love is still perfect. It's amazing, right? It's limitless love in its perfection. It's limitless in the sense of God's arms are so big they can encompass the entire world. The entire world population can and is loved by God. It doesn't matter how big the population gets, God's arms just limitlessly expand to include everybody. And it includes you, each one of you. God loves you with a perfect, everlasting love that you can't get to the bottom of. That's how much he loves you. It's for everybody. It's limitless. But, and, we as human beings need to, as it were, experience that love. It's there, it's limitless, but we need to experience. I have in my mind this picture. We were in Cape Town a couple of weeks ago, and we were, if you know where Cape Town is, it's the very bottom of Africa, and we were stood in this kind of rock that was sticking out into goodness knows what ocean. It's a big ocean. That's all I can say. It's a big ocean, not sure which one it was. And we stood, and as far as we could see, all around here was ocean. You can almost see the curve of the earth. It was that massive, right? We took some pictures, but cameras just can't capture it, right? But wherever we looked in front of us was ocean. And I imagine that God's love is like that ocean. It's so big, it kind of just disappears off and you can't see the end. But then you have a choice about what you do with the ocean. You can go from the vantage point, you can go down to the beach, and if you want, you can kind of stick your foot in, can't you? Into an ocean. You experience the ocean, but only kind of a foot's worth. Kind of test it, right? Or you can go, I want to go swimming. And so you go swimming in the sea. And I went swimming into the sea, right? But I never went kind of too far. I could, mainly because there were sharks. And the South Africans love telling stories about sharks. Yeah, it's not very often people get killed on this beach, maybe once a year, but I'm sure you'll be fine.
And you go, okay. And so I went swimming, but I could always put my feet on the floor. So I was kind of up to there, so I could swim. But so I was in, but not quite right. But if I truly wanted to understand how big the ocean was of Cape Town, I'd have to come back to shore. I'd have to get a boat, right? I'd have to get in the boat and either sail or row so far in so I couldn't see the land anymore. Then I'd be in the middle, right? Yeah. Well, I want to suggest that as Christians, we need to experience God like the boat. If we're going to have really, truly understand the limitless nature of God's love and be surprised by it, we need to actually be in the boat. You see, some of you are, you've been a Christian a while, but if you're really honest, you still just have a foot in. Or perhaps you've got both feet in, but it's kind of only up to your knees, and that's it. Some of you will say, no, oh, Pastor, no. I'm kind of in. But you still like to know you've got your feet on the floor. You're swimming. It's all right, feet are on the floor. Swimming. Now my feet are on the floor. If you're going to experience the surprise of God's love in your life, you need to go back to shore, get a boat, row off until the land disappears. So all that's around you, the only thing that's holding you is God's love. In those moments, you experience God. I've learned this in my darkest days. If I push off from the shore, if I fully immerse myself in God's love, then I get the surprise. If I try and do it in my own strength, if I try and put my feet back on the floor, I can't hold myself. My strength is not enough. But if I will push off and if I will trust God's love to surround me completely, then and only then do I experience the surprise of God's love coming through in those moments where I desperately need him. And that's the surprise of the cross. As we fully trust his love in our lives, that we then understand that he will always have us in the middle of his hand. And I just quickly want to pray for a couple of groups of people here before I get down from this stage. For some of you, you've never experienced the love of God, and it might be your first time in church. Somebody might have duped you being here. Who knows? Or you've chosen to come. I don't know. But you're sat there going, I've never really experienced the love of God. Well, I just want to say to you, I just want to invite you to put your toe in or your foot in. I'm not asking you to go swimming or even jump in a boat and go out, but just put your toe in. If you will allow God's love just to come into your life a little bit, he will come and say hello. And you can figure the rest out as you go along. I'm just going to ask you to put your toe into the love of God. That's it. And I'd love to pray for you. And I'd love you to, in the ones, begin the relationship with God. That's all you're doing. Say, God, if you're there, I want to put my toe in and see. I want to pray for you, right? But before I do that, there's some of you who are Christians. And either you're, and you know, because in the darkest day, you want to put your foot down. You might even be swimming, but you know when the dark comes, you want to put your foot down so that you're back in control. And I want to pray for you that you will, at this Easter, say to God, I want to be the person that pushes the boat out so I can no longer put my feet down. And all I'm relying on is you. Nobody else, nothing else, not finance or family. I just want to trust in you. Those things might come and help for sure. But I just want to trust you. I want to be out in that boat with you alone.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.